Join us in Chicago or virtually on May 2nd for Bloomberg's Business Value of AI event and networking reception. This event will gather business and technology executives to share their experiences and provide insights into their strategies for deploying AI that achieves a desirable ROI. You'll also learn how companies have successfully implemented AI solutions that have improved productivity and profitability. This program is proudly sponsored by IBM. Register at BloombergLive.com/AI/radio.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Here are the stories we're following today.
Karen, the rise in futures comes as the S&P 500 is coming off its biggest losing streak since January. Stocks fell for a fourth straight day. They're now down more than 4% from their all-time high. The declines come as more Federal Reserve officials urge patience on rate cuts. Fed Governor Michelle Bowman says the battle against inflation continues.
What we've seen over the past first few months of 2024, anyway, is that inflation, progress on inflation has slowed. And I expect maybe it's even stalled at this point.
Fed Governor Michelle Bowman's comments were echoed by Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester. At a separate event, she said the central bank should not be in a hurry to cut.
Well, Nathan, one Fed critic says policymakers should begin the rate-cutting process. UBS Global Wealth Management chief economist Paul Donovan says the Fed should focus on the positive news regarding its preferred inflation gauge, the PCE deflator.
What we do not want in this environment is rising real interest rates, because the economy is slowing. You've got the highest interest rates in 23 years. You've got a fiscal drag on growth. The economy is slowing down. You don't want to exacerbate that with rising real rates. So I think the message needs to be follow the PCE deflator lower.
UBS Global Wealth Management chief economist Paul Donovan speaking yesterday on Bloomberg Surveillance. Traders now see just 1 to 2 rate cuts this year. That's a far cry from the roughly 6 they expected at the start of 2024.
Back in New York, Karen, jury selection resumes today in the hush money trial of Donald Trump. 7 jurors have been picked so far in the first ever criminal case against a former president.
Meanwhile, Nathan, Trump is facing more pressure from economists in his circle to embrace a flat tax rate. While the former president has not endorsed a flat tax, he has called for more middle-class tax cuts. We get details now from Bloomberg's Amy Morris in Washington.
Steve Forbes, former White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow, and economists Stephen Moore and Arthur Laffer are not official advisors to the Trump campaign, but they are pushing for their preferred economic policies ahead of a potential second term. Forbes is pushing for a flat 17% tax rate for all income brackets with exemptions. Kudlow supports renewal of Trump's 2017 tax cuts, but Laffer says he would support lowering the corporate rate even more. Now, Donald Trump has told allies he wants to keep that 21% corporate rate in place and instead extend individual cuts to avoid alienating working class voters. In Washington, Amy Morris, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Amy, thank you. We're learning Donald Trump's campaign's telling other Republicans to pay up if they use the former president's name, image, or likeness in their fundraising solicitations. In a campaign memo obtained by Bloomberg News, all candidates and committees who use Trump in their fundraising appeals must give a minimum 5% of the funds they raise to the Trump political operation.
Well, Nathan, Donald Trump's opponent Joe Biden is on the campaign trail. Speaking in Pittsburgh, the president vowed to keep United States Steel American-owned.
U.S. Steel has been an iconic American company for more than a century, and it should remain a totally American company. Yeah! American-owned, American-operated by American Union steelworkers, the best in the world. And that's going to happen, I promise you.
And Japan's Nippon Steel plans to acquire U.S. Steel for more than $14 billion.
And President Biden's talking tougher about China, Karen, as he highlights the challenges to its economy.
They've got a population that is more people in retirement than working. They're not importing any. They're xenophobic. Nobody coming else coming in. They've got real problems. I'm not looking for a fight with China. I'm looking for competition, but fair competition.
The president's latest rhetoric comes 2 weeks after his latest phone call with Chinese President Xi Jinping. The Chinese economy did grow faster than expected in the first quarter, but there are still questions about the strength of that recovery.
Well, Nathan, more pressure could be coming for China from Congress. The House is on a fast track to approve the bill aimed at forcing a sale of TikTok. Speaker Mike Johnson plans to include it in the aid package for Ukraine and Israel that he's teed up for votes on Saturday. Two Republicans have threatened to try to oust Johnson over foreign aid, but the speaker is undaunted.
My philosophy is you do the right thing and you let the chips fall where they may. If I operated out of fear over a motion to vacate, I would never be able to do my job.
Speaker Johnson has already passed the TikTok bill in the House. Attaching it to the foreign aid bill could force the Senate to accept it as a condition for supporting Israel and Ukraine.
Well, Karen, Senate Democrats have not accepted impeachment articles against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. They have tossed the charges. Bloomberg's Dan Schwartzman has that.
Democrats in the Senate voted to dismiss both articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. The vote was mostly along party lines, except for Alaska Republican Lisa Murkowski, voting present on a measure to toss the first impeachment article. Republicans have accused Mayorkas of refusing to enforce immigration laws. The secretary is the first sitting cabinet member in U.S. history to be impeached. Democrats say the measure was unconstitutional because it didn't meet the constitutional bar of a high crime or misdemeanor. Republicans accuse Democrats of failing to take the charges against Mayorkas seriously and that the American people deserve to hear the evidence. Dan Schwartzman, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Dan, thanks. Now back to the markets. Keeping an eye on chip stocks this morning, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing expects revenue to rise as much as 30% this quarter. The better-than-projected outlook follows its first profit rise in a year after strong AI demand revived growth at the world's biggest contract chipmaker. TSMC is the main chipmaker for NVIDIA and Apple.
And shares of Micron Technology are on the rise as well, Karen. They're up 2.5% in early trading. The largest U.S. maker of computer memory chips is poised to get $6.1 billion in grants from the Commerce Department to help pay for domestic factory projects. This is all part of an effort to bring semiconductor production back to U.S. soil.
And it's time now for a look at some of the other stories making news in New York and around the world. And for that, we're joined by Bloomberg's John Tucker. John, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. Republicans have upheld the Arizona abortion ban. Let's get more on that story this morning from Bloomberg's Steve Podisk.
Republicans in the Arizona State House blocked two attempts Wednesday to repeal the state's 160-year-old near-total ban on abortion, despite pressure on the GOP, including from former President Donald Trump, to change course on the hot-button issue. But later in the day, two Senate Republicans joined with Democrats enough to create a majority to move forward with their version of a repeal. A final vote on the bill could be weeks away. If the Senate does ultimately vote to repeal the ban, the measure would go back to the House, where it would still face a difficult path. Steve Podisk, Bloomberg Radio.
Two hearings on Capitol Hill focused on Boeing. In the first, a report exposed holes in the safety culture at the company. Three witnesses backed it up with testimony for senators. The second hearing featured a former Boeing engineer saying the airplane manufacturer is not up to par. Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut had this message for the flying public.
The aircraft as a whole may be safe insofar as people getting on planes shouldn't panic, but they need to be made fully safe.
Blumenthal speaking to ABC. President Biden will be endorsed by more than a dozen members of the Kennedy family at an event today in Philadelphia as he looks to blunt the outsider presidential bid of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Biden will be introduced by Kerry Kennedy, the sister of the third-party candidate, and joined by fellow siblings. Polls suggest that Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's promoted conspiracy theories, could play spoiler as Mr. Biden seeks to win re-election. And Google fired 28 employees after they were involved in protests against Project Nimbus, a $1.2 billion joint contract with Amazon to provide the Israeli government with AI and cloud services. The protests took place across Google offices in New York City, Seattle, and Sunnyvale, California. Global news, 24 hours a day, and whenever you want it with Bloomberg News Now. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Karen and Nathan.
All right, John, thank you.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? which companies from big tech to startups will dominate, and where do the risks and unintended consequences lie. I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.
Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower. John, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. It's looking like the Knicks are going to continue their long history of playoff series with Miami. The Heat had a 14-point second-half lead in Philadelphia. The fans were booing the Sixers. Philly came alive, rallied to win 105-104. Joel Embiid, 23 points, 15 rebounds. Nick Batum with 20 off the bench. Tyrese Maxey scored 19, was then asked about now facing the Knicks.
They're an extremely grimy team. Like they play hard, they're physical, they're tough, and that's their identity. So for us to go in there and try to get W's and try to win this series, we have to match that. And not just match it, but we have to, you know, overcome that and be better than that and be extremely physical as well.
Game one Saturday at the Garden. The Heat, who came out of the play-in to play in last year's NBA Finals, now go home to play Chicago tomorrow. The Bulls beat Atlanta 131-116. Kobe White scored 42 points. The winner of that game tomorrow will then take on the Celtics. And the NHL playoff matchup set in the East, not yet in the West, although Dallas did win to clinch the West one seed. The playoff-bound Islanders finished the regular season with another win, 5-4 over Pittsburgh. In Toronto, looked like another quiet game for Yankee bats. They trailed the Blue Jays 4-1, eighth inning. Looked like they'd come home with a four-game losing streak, but Juan Soto homered in the eighth. Giancarlo Stanton in the ninth. Yanks scored again, and then with the game tied, Aaron Judge, a two-run single. Yanks won 6-4. Judge with a hit, raising his average to 183. A couple of ex-Yanks helped the Mets finish a home sweep of the Pirates behind the pitching of Luis Severino, a homer by Harrison Bader. The Mets won 9-1. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Karen, Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. S&P futures up 0.25% or 12 points. Dow futures up 0.1% or 40 points. NASDAQ futures up 0.4% or 70 points. 10-year Treasury yield 4.57%.
Coast to coast on Bloomberg Radio, nationwide on Sirius XM, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and the Bloomberg Business app. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager. JPMorgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon has made no secret that his firm is all in on artificial intelligence. In fact, this month he devoted a pretty significant chunk of his annual shareholder letter to the importance of the technology for the Wall Street Giant's business and for society at large. In the premiere episode of the second season of The Circuit, Jamie Dimon joined Bloomberg Originals host and executive producer Emily Chang to discuss the opportunity offered by AI. Before that, though, Emily asked Jamie Dimon if JP Morgan, the world's largest publicly listed bank, is now too large. Let's go to part of their conversation now.
I think the question is what works for consumers and industries and stuff like that. So, you know, if you want to build a Boeing aircraft, you have to be big. You can pretend that you don't. If you want to do what JP Morgan does, we move $10 trillion of money around the world every day. We bank some of these companies in 30 countries. We bank countries. We bank the World Bank, the IMF. We bank the United States government. You have to be big. You can't do those things and be small. I applaud the small banks. We're the biggest bank, community banks and regional banks and stuff like that. And I understand, you know, some of the stress they're under. We're trying to help. So it's not either or.
So going a little bigger picture now, you run the biggest bank in the world. You have our money. You've got world leaders on speed dial. That's a lot of power. How do you decide when and how to wield that power?
Yeah, I'm not sure I have a lot of people on speed dial. So you say all that. Sometimes I think I'm just riding the Bronco and hanging out for dear life. I love what I do. I try to talk to everyone. I try to keep my mind open. One of the benefits from traveling the world, you know, I was just in Mumbai and Switzerland and seeing clients, you learn a lot. And you try to make sure that you're doing a proper assessment of the world, that you're looking at the options. You're not like just saying, we're going to do this. I look at it as part of our job to try to have countries, to help countries do the best they can for their citizens. Mm-hmm. So we bank countries. We also advise them on skills and trade and economics. You look at our research, it's a lot around how does an economy run. So when you go to, like, when I got back from Mumbai, we research 150 companies now or something like that. So we're educating the world about those companies. We're educating the world about the Indian economy. As we do that, we also educate the Indians about what works in their economy and what doesn't work. And those are important things to lift up society.
You've got this reputation as a sort of white knight for the economy. Do you ever feel pressure to come in with the save?
I feel a tremendous amount of pressure to do. Obviously, my family comes first, okay? But to do a great job for my company and our clients. But I also feel a huge burden to do a good job for my country. So, you know, when my country wants me to do something, and we talk all the time to, you know, the senators and regulators, what can we do to make the system better, to lift up the country, lift up inner cities? We're trying to figure out how to make society better. And I do consider that part of our job.
I know you mentioned ChatGPT in your annual letter. Have you tried it?
Yeah. If I had my phone, I'd show you.
What do you use it for?
I just ask it questions.
Like what?
I don't remember. What's Emily Chang going to ask me?
You've got a top-notch group investigating AI. What are they up to? What's the next level of finance you think AI can unlock?
Yeah. So I think the most important thing is that AI is real. We already have thousands of people doing it, top scientists around the world, Manuel Velosa, who ran Carnegie Mellon Machine Learning. And it's a living, breathing thing. So people want an answer. What's it going to do? It's a living, breathing thing. It's going to change. There are going to be all different types of models and different types of tools and technology. But the way to think about it for us is every single process, so errors, trading, hedging, research, every app, every database, you're going to be applying AI. So it might be as a co-pilot. It might be to replace humans. Like, you know, AI is doing all the equity hedging for us for the most part. It's idea generation, it's large language models, it's note-taking while you're talking to someone, and while it's taking notes, it may actually say to you that, you know, here's the thing of interest the client might be interested in. All error, all customer service, it's a little bit of everything.
But it is going to replace some jobs.
Of course, yeah. But I look, folks, people have to take a deep breath, okay? Technology's always replaced jobs. Your children are going to live to 100 and not have cancer because of technology. And literally, they'll probably be working 3.5 days a week. So technology has done unbelievable things for mankind, but, you know, planes crash, pharmaceuticals get misused. There are negatives. This one, the biggest negative in my view is AI being used by bad people to do bad things. Think of cyber. But, you know, the fact, and I do think, you know, eventually have legal guardrails around it. It's kind of hard to do because it's new, but it will add a huge value. And, you know, for J.P. Morgan, if it replaces jobs, you know, we hope to redeploy people.
So is there going to be a point where I can turn to ChatJPM and say, I have 30 years, or I want to get rich quick. What should I do with my money?
Well, the rich quick, I hope it tells you that you're crazy. but we, in some ways, can do a little bit already today. And, you know, usually, if you look at, like, wealth plans that we have, which I think are quite good, they have a lot of AI embedded in that. And soon we'll have more AI.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Today, your morning brief on the stories making news from Wall Street to Washington and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed at 6 a.m. Eastern each morning on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning starting at 5 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington, Bloomberg 1061 in Boston, and Bloomberg 960 in San Francisco.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130.
Plus, listen coast to coast on the Bloomberg Business app, SiriusXM, the iHeartRadio app, and on Bloomberg.com. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day right here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.